This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. And with Father's Day coming up, you want to stock up. And also, Brewers Outlet gift cards. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Ah, the U.S. Open going on. The runway now has been cleared. Patrick Cantlay is now off the course. He leads. But he's also plays so slow. Jerry Dulac joins us, sir. Always my good friend, a pleasure.
Well, Steve, I apologize on behalf of the great state of North Carolina for missing my cue yesterday. I am at the U.S. Open, as I think you know. I was out on the golf course, and when I got back, it was like, darn, I missed the call, and I apologize.
No need with me. You know that. I'm the last one you have to apologize to. So tell me, as you played it, what were your thoughts on it, especially the layout and what Coren Crenshaw did to it years ago?
Well, you know, obviously I didn't play it yesterday. I was out walking it. I have played it since then. But I'll tell you what they've done, though, in the last 2 years and more, specifically, probably just the last year, they've added more of those native grasses. Before, there was a smattering of ones of those grasses, and now there's like five or six different leaflets in there. And you know, you chances are you could go in there before and typically find it, and or more importantly, play from it. Getting a little harder. Now, you saw even Victor Hovland take an unplayable just off the grass surface, but he was in one of those high grasses, those wire grasses, and he couldn't play it. And he figured he better take a drop rather than, you know, try to make bogey as opposed to triple or more. He ended up making double bogey, but you're seeing guys try to play it, and it creates a lot of problems. So there are more grasses added. And the other thing they did, they switched from a bent grass putting surface to a Bermuda. Now, I don't know that that's affecting the players per se, but they're talking, you know, you could get some grainy Bermuda. And if you watch the broadcast on TV, you see two distinct shades of the green. And that's the grain that you're seeing, some up, some downgrade, some upgrade. And, that can create problems putting, and, of course, the speed of the greens. You know, they're running at 13.5.
Yeah.
I talked to Neil Shipley just a little bit ago, the Pittsburgh Amateur, and he said the fairways are firmer now than when they played the practice round, and the greens are, you know, they're fast and they're rolling, and they're already going to get a little crispy. And they might get some rain tomorrow, Steve. But it's going to be hot, and if they don't get some rain, it's only going to get more treacherous.
Well, the one issue I have when I watch an open on this course is you'll have the green, but the reality is 33% to 40% of the green is the only area you can safely land it and not lose it. The contours of these greens, if you hit the green, there's a chance you're going to run off it. When you walked it, what was your thought on it?
Yeah, well, that's why I thought all along, Steve, the person who wins here is a person who is very good around the greens with the terrific short game, can chip and putt the ball. We saw Martin Keimer win by 8 shots the last time here. by putting it off the green all the time. Guys are trying different methods, 6-irons, 7-irons, wedges, hybrids, fairway metals, something to kind of navigate those crown greens. And, you know, those greens, Steve, I tell everybody, it's like trying to stop a marble on a garbage can lid.
Right.
Because there's such a small area in the middle where you can stop it, and but on the edges, it just rolls off. You know, whether it's over the green, short of the green, and it doesn't just trickle off, it rolls off 20 to 30 yards. And, yeah, it just makes... It just makes for a lot of difficulty. You know, Bryson DeChambeau said the other day, Steve, that he said, you know, he says, they don't move the middle of the green. He goes, and that's where I'm playing. I'm playing the middle of the green. It might be boring, but you go at any pin, especially if they tuck them, well, I don't want to say tuck them, but put them near the edges, man, they become treacherous, and then you have a lot of 30 and 40-foot putts. So, yeah, this golf course, it's all about the greens. And that's what makes it so difficult.
Jerry, how important is not only patience, but boring for the first three rounds in terms of how the player has to approach it?
Well, I think any time in a U.S. Open, patience is the biggest key that you can have, because you're going to make bogeys. You're probably going to make a double bogey somewhere along the line all week, and so you better not let it upset you. And so, yeah, that's going to be a big, big factor. The ones who are unfazed, oh, yeah, they're probably a little thick with themselves, but it's the ones who just move on and you understand everybody is going to make them. So if you see somebody playing bogey-free, as Brooks Koepka was for 13 holes, and then he ends up bogeying it to the clubhouse and falls off the leaderboard, it's just going to be very difficult to go around. They're playing bogey free, and the person who minimizes those bogeys for a couple of rounds is the player who's going to be hunting on Sunday.
Okay, so Patrick Cantlay is the one that comes out of the gate, and he ends up shooting the 500 par 65. We all know that he has the kind of game that can win a major. What's your thought on him at the top of the board?
Well, I'm not a big fan of him personally. Steve.
No,
I don't like the way he seems miserable on the golf course.
Yep.
He has been a problem, I have been told, in the player negotiations between the public investment fund, you know, with the LIV Tour, and what's going on with the PGA Tour Policy Board. I don't know how much you kept up on it, but about a month ago, Jimmy Dunn, who was the guy who brought the two sides together, resigned, and the word was he was just tired of the input from some of the players that what they wanted and what wasn't getting done. The guy who brought these two sides together, a guy who is a businessman who has negotiated deal after billion-dollar deal, and here's somebody like Patrick Cantlay telling him what to do. So I personally am not a fan of Patrick Cantlay.
Right.
He has struggled this year. He has not played well. But, you've heard me say this before, too, about Ludwig Åberg. There he is again on the leaderboard. I said last year he would win a major this year. We saw what he did in his first Masters, his first U.S. Open, and there he is again. Man, he is such a good player, Steve. And he's a guy, I'd be surprised if he doesn't stay there for four rounds.
I agree with that, and I agree about Cantlay, because when Cantlay plays at a very deliberate pace, and that always
when I see
somebody like that, you know what that tells me? I know you're trying to be precise on the whole thing, but I don't give a darn about anybody else out there. And I think that probably translates into the clubhouse you're talking about. He didn't give a darn about anybody else.
Yeah, and that's a good point, and you're probably right about that. And just his, you know, I understand some guys aren't demonstrative out there. They're not DeChambeau. They're not Tiger. But by the same token, you don't have to look miserable out there. And, you know, I used to think that of Jim Furyk, who is a really nice guy and a major, major Steeler fan.
Yep.
But when he was out on the golf course, he looked like, even after he made a birdie, he looked like he swallowed castor oil. And I used to think, Jim's a great guy. He needs to show a little bit more of that on the golf course. unlike Patrick Cantlay, who looks miserable, and for the most part, I'm told, is.
At least he's consistent.
That's right. You say that for him.
He's consistent. All right. So on this course, the guys that went this morning, they'll be the ones that go in the afternoon tomorrow. In a U.S. Open, is there any advantage as to what a tee time happens to be based on this course? I mean, is it bad being delayed today, early tomorrow, or what's the advantage?
Well, the advantage is to someone who likes to sleep, because they get to bed early, they can practice after to get to bed early and have a late starting time. Those who are up early anyhow, or maybe don't like to sleep, if they go late Thursday and early Friday, well, that's okay for them. The weather usually dictates that, and so far they're gonna pretty much get a break. The breeze has picked up a little. It's not a score altering, I don't think, Steve. But then, of course, anything coupled with the slopes of these greens can make it more treacherous. But it is breezier now than it was this morning. It was almost the air was practically breathless at the time.
Yeah.
So unless you get some really bad rain or wind in one of the two waves on one of the two days, and you have the misfortune of getting it both days, unlike what Sergio Garcia once thought, that the golf gods were against them, it's just the luck of the draw.
Right. Sergio always thinks everybody's against him, so that's you know,
exactly
again,
right.
There's again, I love the consistency. Tony Finau shot a 2-under today. He has a lot of wonderful elements to his game. What elements does he need to capitalize on that happen to be a strength, and what weakness does he need to minimize?
Steve, I'm sorry, I missed who you said.
Tony Finau.
He's a guy now that Xander Schauffele's won a major that most people think is, you know, kind of the, quote, best player to have not won a major.
Yeah.
Tony is a, you know, long driver of the ball, pretty good iron player. But I think his short game, his putting, is what holds him back. He is a great guy. He's well liked out on tour. But I think that's probably the biggest thing that holds him back from winning more. But he puts himself up there, and you would think eventually he's going to break through. But I think to come in here, you can't come in here and expect to be a good putter, but you can come in here and be a good putter by not being a disastrous putter.
Right.
And I think that's going to be a big key, especially for him.
DeChambeau has done, I'll tell you right now, I think he's done a great job with the fans. And I think that's been over and over again, it's been showing. What's the state of his game? Because playing on LIV, we're not going to all have an understanding what the state of his game is.
You know, we saw him play well in the PGA. He actually played well in Houston last week on the LIV Tour. I will say this, Steve. The PGA Tour misses Bryson DeChambeau. They miss his length. They miss his personality on the golf course. They miss the crowds, miss him because of the way they react to him. The PGA Tour misses Bryson DeChambeau as much as any guy who's on the LIV Tour. Mm-hmm. And, he won a U.S. Open. Boy, that's a championship that probably nobody ever predicted he would win. But he is a U.S. amateur champ. He's a U.S. Open champ, and he's a great putter. People talk about his length, of course,
yep,
but he is a tremendous putter. And I think he has a chance this week, and I'll be honest, I'd love nothing more than to see Bryson DeChambeau, except for Jordan Spieth. You know how I feel about that.
Of course.
But I would love to see Bryson DeChambeau win here this week.
Finally, I want to ask you about Rory McIlroy. All the talent in the world, we've seen it. He's won the four majors, including this championship. I think it was at Congressional, if I remember.
And, That's correct.
Does he have, at this stage of his career, the consistency that you need over four rounds to win it?
You know what amazes me about him? And we saw this happen with Dustin Johnson a couple of years ago, and it might have been the reason he won the U.S. Open at Oakmont. You know, he worked with Butch Harmon, and he worked on his game from 150 yards in, which for these guys is basically a wedge game.
Right.
Rory McIlroy, for all his talent, to me, is a terrible wedge player. For a guy who drives it as well as he does, and I think he's the greatest driver of the golf ball in golf history, he has so many wedges in his hand, and he leaves himself with so many, 20, 25, 35, 40-yard, 40-feet putts. And it's just surprising to me that his wedge game isn't better than it is. And to me, that's the thing that seems to hold him back. Look, when he gets on a roll and he's on his game, he might be, and I think he is, the best player in the world. But we don't see that enough. And a big reason for that is his lack of wedge game. And I think that's been the biggest drawback for him.
It is so great that you're down there. Appreciate the time you gave us today, as always, my friend. Cannot wait to catch up with you in person.
Steve, always good to chat with you. And you know I have that sunny hand around on my calendar whenever we make it work, especially during training camp.
We're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. I'm going to get a hammer to work on this.
There you go.
All right.
Steve,
thanks,
always
Jerry.
Good to chat with you, my friend.
You too, my friend. He is the best. Think the world of him. Absolutely think the world of him. Jerry Dulac, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, also with the Steelers Network. And, of course, when he's talking about Steelers training camp in La Trobe. All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai. North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.